Hello and welcome to another episode of Twimmel Talk, the podcast where I interview interesting people doing interesting things in machine learning and artificial intelligence. I'm your host, Sam Charrington. I'd like to start off this show by sending out a huge thank you to everyone listening. We've dropped a ton of great interviews over the past few weeks, and through your dedication, we continue to see a growing outpouring of feedback, comments, and shares with each release. If you're a regular listener, but don't normally send in feedback, we'd really love to hear from you. So please head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a review. A 5-star review is, of course, appreciated, but what's most important is that your voice is heard. It lets us know what you like or what you feel we can improve on, and it also lets those looking for a new machine learning and AI podcast know that they should join the Twimmel community. Speaking of community, the details of our next Twimmel online meetup have been posted. On Tuesday, November 14th at 3 p.m. Pacific time, we'll be joined by Kevin T., who will be presenting his paper, Active Preference Learning for Personalized Portfolio Construction. If you've already registered for the meetup, you should have received an invitation with all the details. If you still need to register, head on over to twimmelai.com/meetup to do so. We hope to see you there. Now, as some of you may know, we spent a few days last week in New York City hosted by our great friends at NYU Future Labs. About 6 months ago, we covered their inaugural AI Summit, an event they hosted to showcase the startups in the first batch of their AI Nexus Lab program, as well as the impressive AI talent in the New York City ecosystem. Well, we were more than excited when we found out they would be having a second summit so soon. This time, we had the pleasure of interviewing the 4 startups of the second AI Nexus Lab batch, Mount Cleverest, Byte.ai, Second Mind, and Bowtie Labs. We also interviewed a bunch of the speakers from the event, and we'll be sharing those discussions over the upcoming weeks. In this show, I speak with Kool Singh, CEO and founder of Second Mind. Second Mind is building an integration platform for businesses that allows them to bring augmented intelligence to voice conversations. We talked to Kool about the concept behind Second Mind and how the company combines ambient listening with a low-latency matching system to help users eliminate an estimated 2.5 hours of manual searches per day. And now, on to the show. All right, everyone. I am here at NYU Future Labs speaking with some of the AI Nexus startups, and I am with Kool Singh right now, founder and CEO of Second Mind. Kool, welcome to This Week in Machine Learning and AI.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
So, Kool, why don't we get started by having you tell me a little bit about your background?
Sure. So, I think it's worth touching on this. I came to New York actually as a derivatives trader, and so I was doing what's considered AI back then. You know, we were doing, you know, I mean, AI is effectively expected value, and we were doing very intensive Monte Carlo simulations and doing for mortgage derivatives and other structured type products.
Okay.
So that was where I started. And then I took doing that and building the systems. I was on the trading side, but building the systems on that, I got an interest in technology, and I started 2 companies that were in the low latency side of things.
Okay.
So built 2 technology companies, and basically one company is actually still operational with the product still being adopted across many enterprises, Fortune 100 companies. Okay. And I have 2 patents in terms of low latency systems. And then I actually started a lab with a team in Ukraine and in Eastern Europe that was focused on NLP and AI.
Okay.
Sort of built back in, it's early in terms of now, but I mean, they've been doing it for a while, but built like early chatbots around travel and some other things. So I've been doing this for a while. And then I started had an interest and an idea around this particular company, Second Mind.
Okay. And so what does Second Mind do?
So basically, we're looking to solve the time that you're spending on search. And basically, we sort of accept the fact that we have to find information and you know, we do have search engines now, and we accept that that's great. But the fact is, we're now spending about 2.5 hours out of our day on average searching for information. That's 30%. Okay. If I told you you're stuck in traffic for 2.5 hours a day, you're like, okay, I have to fix my life. But this is what we're doing. This is in 2016, this type of data. So it's not like this is getting worse, the problem.
I mean, just as you say that, like, I reject that notion, but it sounds about right.
Yeah, I mean, but you have to think of it can be as simple as saying, are you available for lunch next week? You're searching for your calendar. Where should we go for lunch? You're searching for restaurants or whatever it may be. You know, it could be for information, like from your CRM, or for, it could be for if you're in the trading world, for market data and so forth. So you're constantly looking for information. And the fact is, we also don't know what we don't know. So that problem takes time. So that whole situation creates this situation where we're constantly looking and searching for data. People are, you know, overwhelmed in that thing. I mean, and we've heard this information overload, but this is actually a slightly different thing where, yes, we have so much data in so many different places, and sort of manage it and so forth. We have search engines, but that's still not working. So what we're looking to do is say, hey, can we solve that problem specific to conversations?
Okay.
Because the fact is, the impetus for many of our searches are driven by a conversation, just as I gave examples for. So clients are saying, can you have that information? And the fact is, when you're on a call or in an in-person conversation like we are now, and someone asks for that, you're either having to multitask, which is obviously stressful, or you're saying, I have to get back to you later on that. And what's worse when you have a client's ear to say, I have to get back to you, someone else is going to close that business. So from a business standpoint, this is a very costly problem because they're spending, you know, not only the money to employees, it works out to about, from an $80,000 average salary, about $14,000 annually that's just gone and wasted. And on top of that, you're
losing. And there's 2 hours a day of searching?
Exactly, that time. And then you're also losing the opportunity cost in terms of the revenue of not closing the clients when you have that information, right? So that's the problem we're looking to solve. And so what we basically have developed is, you can think of this matching engine. I'm sort of using a Wall Street prerogative here, but basically think of like an exchange would do for stocks, matching buyers and sellers. What we're doing is we're identifying events in a conversation and mapping it to any data, whether it's internal or external, and pushing it to people in real time. And so that can be information from your CRM, from your market data, from, say, a Bloomberg or Reuters. It can be from your email or files. So if someone says, hey, did you get that file I sent you? It shows up right away. You know, you don't have to sit there and fidget. Just the typing part takes time.
Right.
So that's sort of the thing. And the way you can think of the product, it's sort of like, you can think of like a Slack for conversations, where the glue provide all those applications that people, developers and companies can tie in, and it's a feed as you're speaking.
Mm. And you're using conversation and speaking as the way you describe these interactions, but then you reference Slack. Is it primarily for textual communications, or are we literally talking about speaking?
Yeah, so our focus is around voice conversation. That's sort of where our core IP is. Sorry, and we can do regular conversation, I mean text and chat type conversations as well. Well, we see the real opportunity and the unique differentiations around voice conversations.
Yeah, I mean, when I think of the way we've envisioned some of these interactions, like from a sci-fi perspective, and kind of this notion of the augmented human, right? Like, it's like you want something that's kind of passively listening to all these interactions that you are having, and then just making you smarter by popping that email up, or, oh, you just mentioned lunch. You know, here are three places that, you know, fit the profile of the kind of place you like to go to without having to pull out the phone and the keyboard.
Exactly.
And all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. I mean, that's sort of the big vision we have. It's around the AR side, and sort of where people can be effectively Jarvis and Iron Man, where you can show that. And so, I mean, that's not that far-fetched from our standpoint, because it's just a screen. From our standpoint, we can display that information on any screen. And basically, it's just what we're providing is a low latency matching system to provide that data in any screen. So it can be that on your phone, your mobile phone, it could be on a desktop. If we can connect with the enterprise VoIP, it can be a video calls, or it can be an AR.
Okay. And so do you end up taking a position on kind of the pervasive listening aspect of that, or?
That's a great question. So one of the unique IP aspects of our product is that we don't need to record conversations. Optionally, we can. So a lot of the companies that sort of are in the voice type space are recording data. What we've really, and again, goes back to sort of my background with sort of like inline streaming of this data, throw it, process it, and throw it away effectively. Our core data that we're capturing is the metadata of the mapping engine, of the maps. That's where we're really focused on. So we basically are looking to process inline. Everything's in memory. We're not, you know, that's sort of, so, you know, where a lot of the companies are saying, hey, we're building out this unique part of the components and so forth, where our unique things that we're doing is focused on the real-time low latency on the front end, not on the training side so much, but on the front end where very few companies. So basically we have, like, you can think of it like, again, the best way to think of it is like a high frequency trading system, or like what you would see on Wall Street, where you're processing trades very, very fast. And we're looking at caching that data very fast and processing and mapping it very fast to that conversation. So that's really where the unique sauce comes in. And so we don't need to record the conversation and store it. We're analyzing it, capturing the events, and we will store the events. So that could be like data that could be saved in the CRM or so forth, or summary, but it's not necessarily the actual conversation.
Okay. So I get that you're not required to record the data in order to do the things that you're trying to do. But a lot of companies, you know, aren't recording data because they need to deliver their service. They're recording their data because they use it to train and make their algorithm smarter.
Right.
So, you know, kind of flipping it on the other side, you know, if you're taking a hard position that says we're not going to record any data, do you miss an opportunity to produce a better product that way?
So it's not, so to make it clear, there's the recording of the audio, which we're not focused on. It's where we are focused on is we are storing the metadata, which is the mapping piece that we are maintaining.
Sure.
And that we do need to know. So basically from that standpoint, we can then see where our engine is getting false negatives, false positives, and so forth. So we're seeing, and we can see where we are mapping, you know, the right data or the wrong data, so forth. So that's for us, I mean, that's why I keep, you know, using this analogy of we're a real-time mapping engine or matching engine. Let's use the analogy. If you go to whatever you might use for an online trading system and you go, I want to buy Apple, and it gets you Google, you're not going to be happy with it, right? So that's what we're looking to ensure we don't do that.
Okay.
But it's different than recording someone's conversations, storing those conversations, where a lot of companies are focusing on analytics and storing that conversation, which then becomes, there's a legal aspect to it. You have to tell people, this conversation has been recorded and monitored. That's just it's a law across most states. Because we are not recording or monitoring those conversations, it's just being analyzed in line and thrown away effectively. We don't need to even say that from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm. You take in the voice, and then are you converting that to text? And then your metadata is based on a text transcription of what the person said?
No, so then we're identifying keywords or key phrases. And then when we were building, so basically our chief scientist had written some papers on this. He was most recently a professor at the Institute of Budapest, where he wrote some papers around the concept of attribute variable matrices and doing it in real time. So basically the idea would be in a conversation, it's not always a linear process of finding and achieving when an event is achieved. So when I say an event means when an event is triggered.
Okay. Right.
So if you think about it, if I go to buy a train ticket and I say, okay, I want to buy a train ticket. Okay. I can't buy the ticket yet. The person asks me, where are you going and what date, what time? Now I can start maybe buy the train tickets. That triggers now, finally gets to me how many people and so forth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in the same way, we are doing the same thing where we basically set up this matrices which says, okay, let's identify from the text, we can start filling out that matrices, and is there an event triggered? If once that event gets triggered, it could be one keyword, it could be a bunch of keywords that we need to hear. So for example, it could be on a trading floor, it could be how many shares traded. That you can't maybe trigger there, but if someone said, what do you think of IBM? And then said, how many shares traded? Well, now we know for IBM, right? Or if someone says, how many shares of IBM traded? We can then find that. So in that vein, we don't need to record the audio or save the text. We just need to capture the fact that someone knows, wants to know how many shares and what stock, and we can capture in any order. And then when it's triggered, we map it to the data that we know where to find it.
Hmm. So I guess the personal assistant type of use case that we discussed is kind of a clear one. Are there other use cases, or what's the initial target customer and use case that you're going after for this?
So broadly, as I said before, there is that knowledge worker in general that would use that. We're seeing interest from the financial services vertical, financial advisors, traders, where there's a need for having that information salespeople having to, you know, get information, close that sale, and having that data, you know, managing that information and so forth, obviously. But any market, I mean, if you think about a real estate agent, someone's calling up, but they can't manage all the properties in the MLS listings, right? So someone says, you know, what properties are available in the West Village here in New York? They're not going to know. So if we could, you know, push and, you know, intelligently what those properties are based on some criteria that person says, you can now deliver that information intelligently. One area we're seeing, we're sort of working with a data provider and exploring, is around attorneys. They're on the phone all the time. They're in conversation all the time. And they're constantly trying to get information on precedents and other legal facts that require so much search and data. So the more we can push that to the person as they're having the conversation, well, now you don't have to have that asynchronous process of, okay, let me get back to you and let's set up another call. I mean, think about the time it takes to set up that other call, get on the call, the process of, you know, a few minutes of talking, of, okay, chat, okay, now let's get to it. Then, oh, I don't know that answer. Let me, okay, write that down, get back to you. And that constant process, we are trying to streamline that where you can now take maybe 2, 3, 4 calls and you can make it into one, maybe two. But you're basically now significantly reducing the amount of time that people need to be on those calls and searching. And you're basically making people, you know, much more efficient, productive. And as you sort of said, hopefully, you know, a dream of being super intelligent or smarter than otherwise.
So we've talked a little bit about the front end of this process. How are you handling the kind of knowledge retrieval aspect of it on the back end? It strikes me that there are a number of interesting challenges there that you'd have to overcome.
Yeah. So the first thing we're doing is, in terms of our core product, we are offering it to, you know, we're initially focused on enterprises, and we're offering that as a virtual machine. And we offer, again, this goes back to some of the IP and technology I had built in a previous companies, which is sort of like a very much of a publish, subscribe, real-time architecture. So that's just, I'm sort of, you know, one of the things I've always loved about building companies is you find the gap between two areas and you sort of focus on there, because if you focus on just machine learning and so forth, you obviously have very big players that have a lot of expertise. And if you focus on, say, publish, subscribe in real time, where you have TIBCO and, you know, IBM that are very big players in there. But if you get in the gaps, you can sort of build a very exciting company that's sort of in the wedge. So we're building sort of like a wedge company that's in between those markets, which is saying, hey, we're building a publish, subscribe, event-based technology that's using machine learning and a lot of the capabilities around there. And what we're doing there is we're leveraging a high performance caching engine, where companies can open data sockets from any database or technology system to our product. And we're basically have both an in-memory cache as well as a cache that could sit in storage, basically that base companies would be able to access data in real time and we'd be able to show it in the feed. So it's not a major integration process. It basically is just opening up a data socket to our caching engine. And then we would pull that, and a lot of this between the speech recognition, the NLP, and the cache are all running in memory.
Hmm. So on this back end side of things, what are some of the data sources that you envision your early customers connecting to? Is there like, you know, a top three lists of, you know, their email servers or something else? Yeah. Or do you expect it to be more specialized, maybe proprietary systems or databases?
Yeah, great question. I mean, what we've done for building the initial prototypes, we did, you know, the Dropbox, Google Drive, Gmail, Yahoo Finance to be able to show that. So now, right now, you can have a conversation on our product, and it, you know, you ask for the price of Amazon, it shows up. You ask for an email on X, it shows up. We're also working on an exchange integration. And so what we're doing is there's certain integrations where they're more broad across many enterprises, and doing a very tight custom integration where we can find information very fast. So exchange integration gives us both enterprise emails as well as the calendar information. I mean, that's awesome. So you just say, hey, when I give you the example, when are you available? Boom. Who was on that call? You know, who's going to be on that call? You can bring in all that information and show that person. You don't have to sit there and fidget with your email, your calendars, whatever. So a lot of enterprises now are using things like Box and Dropbox. So that would be a more general type of integration that we would offer. Where we see, for example, for financial services, we're talking, you know, a conversation would be with Reuters or Market Data, like Bloomberg sources there. Same thing with legal, like, you know, Reuters or LexisNexis are major players. Salesforce would be an integration on the sales side. So, you know, MLS would be an integration for real estate. So that's sort of the integrations are really not the focus. Really, it gets to being, make sure to get the language corpus for each one so you're not, you know, you're getting good matches to that data.
Mm-hmm. And how have you tackled that challenge?
So initially, like I said, we're focused on initially a couple verticals. We're not looking to target the entire marketplace, and we have customer interest in both sides. We're actually in the very close to releasing a enterprise version of the product here within a couple of weeks. So excited about that. And then we have, you know, these are Fortune 50 type companies that we're going to be demoing the product to and go from there effectively. And then in terms of, you know, the goal is to expand the capabilities to a little more of the cognitive side of things where we can, you know, this is sort of why we joined the NYU's program. And so we can work closely with some of the professors and doing some of the things around building out our API so we can do a little more, not have to be so limited to building out each vertical, but you can provide a more of a broader solution for multiple type of verticals.
Okay, cool. So what's next for the company?
So, you know, as I said, you know, we're excited about releasing this product here and getting these customers teed up. It's one of these things where it's fun to show the product because it's sort of magical. It's also, you want to move faster, but you have to obviously go sort of a certain course to sort of, you know, achieve those results. And right, basically, it's first completing this next, what we call the beta of the enterprise version, get these customers using the product and using it, and then scale from there.
Great. I really appreciate you spending some time with me. It sounds like you guys are doing really interesting things, and I'm looking forward to keeping up with you as the company evolves.
Thank you. I appreciate the time as well.
Great. Thank you.
All right, everyone. That's our show for today. Thanks so much for listening and for your continued feedback and support. For more information on Cool, Second Mind, or any of the topics covered in this episode, head on over to twimlai.com/talk/65. To follow along with the NYU Future Labs AI Summit series, which will be piping to your favorite podcatcher all week, visit twimlai.com/AI Nexus Lab 2. Of course, you can send along your feedback or questions via Twitter to @TwimmelAI or @SamCharrington, or leave a comment right on the show notes page. Thanks again to NYU Future Lab for their sponsorship of the show. For more information on the AI Nexus Lab program, visit futurelabs.nyc. And of course, thanks again for listening and catch you next time.